Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
PP Herder.
Blood Puddle.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
He butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No, no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Well, we made it through the long summer, and
yes,
now we are back. Iceman Insight, starring Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, in a new time, starting it all off.
Yeah.
At 4 o'clock Central Time.
Save the best for first.
5 o'clock Eastern, yep. And we are pre-living it once again. To quote Johnny Kells.
We're taped in front of a dead studio audience.
Yep, yep, yes we are. Here we go, Iceman season at a glance.
Yes, we will talk about
Have they lost yet?
Oh, not yet, no. We will talk about the 2015-16 Iceman roster during the coming weeks as more moves are announced and things come into shape.
And, of course, you can always get your Iceman roster news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on IcemanManiacs.com Maniac Message Board.
Indeed. So, for now, as we postpone the roster talk until later, we want to kick off the season four. How is that? It's season four.
Yeah, someone on Facebook had a great post that, I think it was you that said, obviously Andy Fuller doesn't listen.
Yeah, exactly.
He does indeed listen, and he has many questions about why would you even say that on the radio? But yet he's still, I clean a lot of toilets. Let's just say that this radio time, it has been paid for.
So we kick off season four of Iceman Insights with a look at the big picture for the upcoming season. First off, the Iceman free agent camp is this weekend at Swander. The main training camp begins the first weekend of October, and the Iceman will play two preseason games, both on the road, both at Fort Wayne, Friday, October 9th, and Saturday, October 10th.
It's just right around the corner.
I know. So it's hard to believe.
It's awesome that the NHL camps will be opening up shortly, and then everyone else from there, the old trickle-down effect, and it'll be good to get back at it.
Can't wait. The regular season for the Iceman begins on Saturday, October 17th, a home game against the Indy Fuel. Regular season ends on Saturday, April 9th at Allen with a three-game trip to Allen.
World champion Allen America.
Yes, and the home finale is a week before that on Saturday, April 2nd against the Tulsa Oilers. Is that where Jake Obermeyer plays?
Yes, very well could be.
It was.
Okay.
Not anymore. Keep in mind, the ECHL lost the three California teams, Bakersfield, Ontario, and Stockton, this season, but gained three former AHL markets. That would be the Adirondack Thunder, the Manchester Monarchs, and the Norfolk Admirals.
Pretty awesome.
Or as Dixie Halber says, the Norfolk Admirals. That's what she says. Norfolk.
Am I going to have to beep that out?
It's a city name. What? What's your problem? The Iceman will not play any of those three teams, though. Adirondack, Manchester, and bleep.
Yeah, exactly. That's a long drive, too.
Yeah. The Iceman will not play any games, home or road, against those three, as well as Brampton, unfortunately. Colorado, Elmira, Florida, Idaho, Redding, and Utah.
However, they are going to Alaska.
Yes, we'll get to that momentarily.
Oops,
spoiler alert. In addition, the Icemen will not play any home games against Allen, South Carolina, Wheeling, or the newly rebranded Greenville Swamp Rabbits.
Everyone loves that name. I hated
it,
but I think
not a fan.
The one thing that I saw was, for some reason, it has some kind of local favor.
Yeah,
it's
the name of a 60-year-old train. A railroad line in
obviously
the area.
It's huge because everyone in the Greenville area has loved it, and they're buying shirts and jerseys and everything else.
Yeah.
So I don't get it, but I get that I don't get it.
It's better than Road Warriors.
I disagree. I love
you
the
like Road Warriors. Well, I like Warriors, but Road Warriors makes it sound like they're going to suck at home.
Well, yeah, but their jerseys were the best too.
With the Viking helm
and the battle axe, cross battle axes on the shoulder. So
yeah, and now we have a rabbit holding a hockey stick.
That's a carrot.
Yeah, exactly. The Icemen will play in the Western Conference's Midwest Division along with Cincinnati, Fort Wayne, Indy, and Quad City. A few home schedule highlights. The Icemen will host the Indy Fuel more often than any other team. 6 times they'll
Makes
come down.
Sense.
Cincinnati and Quad City 5 times each. 3 visits each for the Comets, Gwinnett Gladiators, and Tulsa Oilers. 2 each for Kalamazoo, Missouri, Rapid City, and Wichita. And once apiece for the Orlando Solar Bears, the Toledo Walleye, and as you mentioned, the Alaska Aces make their Evansville debut this season.
That'll be awesome.
And I think it's like a Wednesday night game, so there won't be many people there, but those of us who care will enjoy it.
Yeah, and then obviously with Kalamazoo coming into town, there will be 2 blizzards this year, so you might as well mark that on
right,
the calendar.
Right, yeah. Count on crappy weather whenever the K-Wings are scheduled to be here. By day of the week, the Icemen will play 12 Saturday home games, which is a nice total. 9 on Friday, 6 on Sunday, and then the weeknight games, there will be 6 Wednesday games, 2 Thursday games, and 1 Tuesday game. Again, this season, no Monday home games. Worth noting, there have been some changes to home game start times this year. Friday and Saturday games will still start at 7:15 like last year, but Sunday games have been moved 15 minutes later from 5 to 5:15, and weeknight games, Monday through Thursday, have been moved an hour earlier from 7:15 to 6:15.
Which is perfect for us because you now have a 2-hour pregame show.
That ends right at 6.
That ends right at 6, and right when you park your car and you walk into the Ford Center.
Bingo.
Is what I plan to do.
There are a couple exceptions to the weekday game. As per usual, Education Day is on a Wednesday this year. November 4th, that will be at 9:30 a.m. And New Year's Eve falls on a Thursday this year. But since it's New Year's Eve, the annual New Year's Eve game will be played at 7:15, not 6:15 like it would be because it's a Thursday.
I've never missed an Education Day game, and I got a real big boy job now, so I don't know if I'm going to make it this year.
You're going to have to figure out a way.
I am.
I'm sure you'll make it work.
I also have
get the soupy flu.
I have a meeting at 10 a.m. every Wednesday as well. That's going to be tough. I could call in. Could you imagine calling in on a conference call with 10,000 screaming kids at the Ford Center?
That'd be unique. You'd be remembered. looking at the road schedule, the Icemen will not make any trips to Florida and Orlando this year. But will make their first ever trip to Alaska, and it's on Thanksgiving weekend when the Ford Center is taken over by the circus. On the bigger picture, the longest road trip is 6 games, which is long but not ungodly long. We've certainly seen worse. And the team only finishes the season with 4 on the road instead of 8 or 12.
Yeah.
So moving on up.
That was a doozy. So, rule change is coming up as well.
Yes, to align with the NHL, much to your chagrin, the ECHL, and I'm already day drinking here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Zing!
The ECHL has adopted 3-on-3 overtime and also trimmed the shootout from 5 rounds down to 3.
I don't have a problem with the trimming the shootout. I think 3-on-3 is the stupidest thing ever.
And you've seen a lot of stupid things.
Yeah, mostly
on the asylum.
Well, yeah, there is the asylum. There's also just me.
Well, yeah. Some of the every morning when you look in the mirror.
Some of the shenanigans I think I can pull off. Shockers, hockey, rock, song of the week.
Since we're starting season four, I think it's a no-brainer for a song that sort of alludes to that. From 1981, it's the Rolling Stones, Start Me Up.
And we're back. Segment two. Michael Shockley, Derek Benigni.
Nice and tight.
Iceman Insights. Michael Shockley, fresh off of another anniversary. And obviously, Amanda, well on her way to sainthood.
Yeah. I think she's already qualified.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. All right, what are we doing? I haven't even looked at the sheet. NHL offseason recap, the Atlantic Division.
Yes, we begin with the Buffalo Sabres. They tanked all season last year in an effort to get the number one overall draft pick, and then they lost the lottery.
There's nothing more embarrassing than tanking and sucking at tanking.
Yeah, yeah. So they lose the lottery, but they got a pretty darn good consolation prize in Jack Eichel at number two overall. He has been signed to a three-year entry-level deal. The Sabres have been active. They acquired Ryan O'Reilly and Jamie McGinn from Colorado for three prospects and a second rounder. O'Reilly was under contract for one more year at $6 million, and then they gave him an extension for 7 years, $7.5 million a year. They also acquired Robin Lehner and David Leguan from Ottawa for a first-round pick. Lehner's under contract for 2 more years, Leguan for 1. They did not re-sign free agent defenseman Andre Mazaros. They bought out Cody Hodgson to free up some cap space to spend on, I guess, all of these new acquisitions and pay Ryan O'Reilly. And they hired Dan Bylsma to replace Ted Nolan as head coach. Bylsma got a 5-year deal at $3 million a season, which is tied for the second biggest coaching contract in NHL history. Thoughts?
Don't like it.
Any of it?
Nope.
None of it at all.
Really loved their moves last year, last free agency, and then the trades, and none of it worked. So I'm a little hesitant this year to jump on board. The Ryan O'Reilly thing, I like Ryan O'Reilly. I think he's a decent player, but Colorado made the playoffs 2 years ago, and then they had to decide who they were going to keep, Ryan O'Reilly or the guy that went to the St. Louis Blues.
Paul Stastny.
And they decided to keep Ryan O'Reilly. And
now they ship him out.
Yeah. They didn't make the playoffs, and then they ship him out. I think they guessed wrong. And I just don't think Ryan O'Reilly has what it takes. And he is definitely not a $7.5 million a year player.
I agree with you on that.
Don't hate the Robin Lehner trade. In a year, again, goalie schmoly, that's the message that I preach. But in a year, you had so many free agent goalies that were available. And you had so many goalies that were open for trade. And you give up a first-round pick for Robin Lehner? I don't get it at all. Cody Hodgson was probably the best thing they did.
Addition and by Bylsma, subtraction.
I liked Bylsma, and he'll probably do all right, but I heard him during the World Juniors as an analyst, and he just kept saying the same thing over and over. They really need to activate their defensemen. They really need to activate their defensemen. They really need to activate their defensemen. That's all he said. I'm like,
it's like they've been
maybe
unplugged.
Maybe this coach sucked. Maybe that's all he said when Crosby and Malkin are like, coach, what are we going to do? We really need to activate the defensemen. So I don't know. I don't like any of it.
Letang has been too activated. That's why he's been hurt. Moving on to the Detroit Red Wings, they signed signed Mike Green from Washington, 3 years at $6 million a year, and Brad Richards from the Blackhawks, 1 year at $3 million. Re-signed Gustav Nyquist, 4-year extension at $4.75 million a year, and recently Daniel Cleary, 1 year at less than $1 million a year. They did not re-sign free agent Marek Zidlicky. They bought out Steven Weiss, who was a bomb and a half at the contract he had.
Yep.
That frees up $2.5 to $4 million in cap space for the next 3 years. And they hired Jeff Blashill, Grand Rapids Griffins coach, to replace Mike Babcock as head coach.
Who would you rather have, Gustav Nyquist or Ryan O'Reilly?
Nyquist.
Yeah, exactly. That's why this whole Ryan O'Reilly thing doesn't make any sense. Love Mike Green going. Mike Green is not going to win a Norris Trophy, but he is going to bring some much-needed power play, offense, puck moving. I love Stefan Kronwall, but he's not that guy.
Kronwall? Is that Nicholas's long-lost brother?
Did I say what? Who is Stefan Kronwall?
I don't know.
I have to Google
he's
that
He's in your
one.
Dreams.
I have to pull that one up. Nicholas Kronwall. So, and what that also does is it shoves all those guys down on the depth chart.
In the right slot.
So, and I guess there's rumors that Erickson's still going to be paired with Kronwall on the number one D pairing. That's going to last for about a period and a half.
Well, it might last at even strength, but Green will be on that first power play unit.
Yeah, I think Green and Kronwall will end up playing quite a bit together, and Erickson will just be that third D man, and he'll play in the number one PK. So,
do you think $6 million a year is fair for him?
For
Green?
Mike Green, yeah.
It's a little much, but you got to play market value, I guess.
He was a guy that scored 22 goals 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And if he's healthy and he can play, he'll be worth every cent of that. So I don't think that $6 million is what Mike Babcock is worth, but you get what you get.
Yeah.
So, once again, the Red Wings, no one does it better. They promote from within. They develop from within. It goes with players and staff and coaching. You look at what Stevie Yzerman's doing in Tampa Bay, and it's everything he learned in Detroit.
Yep. The Boston Bruins signed Matt Beleski from Anaheim, 5 years, $3.8 million, and they made a slew of trades. They sent Milan Lucic to the Kings for Martin Jones, a prospect and a first-rounder, and then immediately flipped Jones to San Jose for a prospect and another first-rounder. They traded Dougie Hamilton to Calgary for a first rounder and a pair of second rounders. They traded Carl Soderberg to Colorado for a sixth rounder. Then they acquired the rights to Jimmy Hayes from Florida for Riley Smith and the contract of retired forward Mark Savard. Hayes was then given a new deal, 3 years, $2.3 million per season. But the real value there was losing Savard's contract because that frees up $4 million in cap space for the next couple years. Claude Julien still the coach, despite some people calling for him to be fired. And Don Sweeney replaces Peter Chiarelli as general manager.
I like Claude Julien. I thought he's done a great job. He won a Stanley Cup, and he also went to a Game 7 in another Stanley Cup where he had the lead until they had a near Toronto Maple Leaf epic fall apart in the last 5 minutes, and I laughed and laughed and giggled and giggled. But other than that, I have no idea. Here is a team. I don't think you can blame Claude Julien for this at all. They had a great team. They had to pay for this great team, and now they're in salary cap hell. So I don't know what to think about this team. They've traded so many players. The one thing I do know, Zdeno Chara's days, he's not going to last through that contract. He's got a huge contract. His body's breaking down.
He's becoming an albatross.
Yes, he is. And he'll get through this season and next season, but I think he still has 5 years left on that contract to go to. He's 39 years old. That one's going to haunt him.
That's a long in the tooth for a big physical defenseman.
Yeah.
The Florida Panthers, as just mentioned, acquired Riley Smith and the contract of Mark Savard from Boston for Jimmy Hayes. Smith under contract for two more years at $3.4 million per season, and Savard carries a $4 million cap hit. They also bought out Brad Boyes, freeing up $1.7 million in cap space.
Say that quickly 10 times. Bought out Brad Boyes. Exactly.
There you go. And Jonathan Huberdeau remains an unsigned restricted free agent. They sounds like they're getting close to getting a deal for him, though. Worth noting, this year the Panthers will have more than $7 million in cap space devoted to players who will not actually play for them. Savard's retired cap hit, Boyes, who they just bought out, and they still are paying half of Chris Versteeg's salary from when they traded him to Chicago a couple years ago. So, but even with the $7 million in dead money on the books, they're only 7.1 over the salary floor.
Yep, and that's kind of the way they do it. I like this team. One of my favorite things is them re-signing Jaromir Jagr and bringing him back. I was a huge Florida Panthers fan. I was hoping that they'd make the playoffs, and they came up just short. But they're building something pretty nice down there. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see them take a shot at it this year.
Elsewhere in Florida, the Tampa Bay Lightning re-signed defenseman Andre Schuster. 2 years at a pretty good value, $1.45 million. And that's really the only noteworthy move they made because the Lightning are about $600,000 over the cap right now. They're going to have to make some type of move to get down to the cap before the regular season begins. Talk about two opposite sides of the coin. Florida's taking on all kinds of dead money just to get to the floor. And the Lightning are over the cap and still looming overhead is trying to re-sign Stamkos next season.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. Obviously, different ownership that has different amounts of money. It's Bill Davidson, this old Detroit bajillionaire that he has passed away since, but he was the original owner of the Lightning, and they've got the money. And then they just can't draw fans in Florida. They have sucked for so long that, I mean, it's bad down there. I got a buddy that lives down there, and they go to games, and there'll be 200-300 people there. It's just bad.
The pictures online are just embarrassing.
It looks like baseball.
We go north of the border to the Montreal Canadiens. They got what could be a great bargain or a really cheap flameout. Alexander Seyman, who had been bought out by Carolina, takes a discount to go to the Habs, 1 year, $1.1 million. They also re-signed defenseman Jeff Petrie, 6 years at $5.5 million per season, and forward Alex Galchenyuk, great hockey name, 2 years at $2.8 million per season, and they bought out P.A. Parenteau, freeing up $2.7 million in cap space.
We'll probably get into this in the next hour as well, but I got the hockey news, the recent article, the yearbook, and the number one player, the best player in the NHL is Carey Price. And I just thought that was the stupidest thing I have ever heard of.
Goalie schmoly.
And the reason I have a problem with that is they say he's the best player, not best goalie, best player in the NHL, and yet all 82 games long they'll complain that Montreal has no scoring. They really need some more scoring. Do you think maybe it's because they're playing a defensive system is the reason why their goalie's so good. Now, granted, he's good, but maybe they need to take some more offensive risks and put that number one best player in the world goalie out to dry a couple of times.
Devils, Brodeur.
Exactly. So, but I do like what Montreal's doing. They've got a great young team, and Max Pacioretty, a good American boy. Boy, he's a monster. I'm a huge PK Subban fan. Have been a fan of his from the very beginning. And they've got a great goaltender. I love Carey Price, even when they all hated him 3-4 years after they drafted him, because we wasted a pick on him. So
Montreal's one of those teams that you could totally see them winning the cup, but in the same breath, you could totally see them not scoring enough and missing the playoffs altogether.
Yep, especially with a team like Florida. Florida gets hot at the right time, and Montreal has some struggles. And the whole Alex Semin thing, he's mailed it in. That guy had 6 goals last year in 82 games.
He's such a stud talent-wise. It's just a shame you see that much talent wasted. Yep. Elsewhere in Canada, the Ottawa Senators, the Iceman affiliate, re-signed a bunch of guys. Mark Stone, 3 years at $3.5 million per season. Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar, 3 years at $1.35 million per season. He will step in as the full-time backup to Craig Anderson with Leonard out. And Mike Hoffman, 1 year at $2 million via arbitration. And as mentioned, they traded Leonard and David Legwon to Buffalo for a first-round pick. So not a whole lot of moves there, unloading a couple pieces, re-signing some young pieces, but sort of the status quo for the Sens.
I hate the Senators. I absolutely hate them. And they are building something awesome. It's unbelievable. They hit on those rookies last year with Stone and Hoffman, and they're just going to get better. And then they trade away a backup goalie and a piece of crap and David Legwon for a first round pick. It's just unbelievable. So love it. Just absolutely love it. I got the Senators jersey down here. I might have to dust it off.
Ooh, yeah, I bet it is dusty, too.
It is. It was the original 1991, the first year that when they came back into the league.
Really?
Yep.
And you know what? We've got 7 teams in the Atlantic Division done.
Yep.
There's an 8th team.
Yeah, but it's getting kind of close to 4:30.
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to hold them off till next week.
Yeah, maybe. We can do Toronto next week.
Yeah, we'll save Toronto.
That sounds good.
Our apologies to the Leafs. We ran out of time.
Speaking of, dangling tangent.
Yeah, we got to have time for that, right?
Heck yeah.
It's a quick one. So since football season is here, begins tomorrow night, who beats who in the Super Bowl this season?
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea. I think...
Just say the Leafs.
Everybody... I think it's going to be a fantastic football season. There's so many teams that have gotten so good. DeMarco Murray going to Philadelphia and that whole crazy thing, and Buffalo and Miami getting Sue. So, Denver and Manning's getting older, and now this whole Brady thing. Is Brady just going to ring up 65 on everyone every week? So, I honestly...
Hell hath no fury like Belichick scorned.
Yes. So I have no idea who will win, but I will say it is going to be awesome. What are your thoughts? Colts? Everyone's huge on Luck in the Colts. I don't know about that defense.
I think the defense is still a question mark. I wouldn't be shocked if the Colts make the Super Bowl, but I wouldn't be shocked if they lose in the first round. I think they're going to cakewalk through the division because the AFC South is pathetic.
I kind of like Houston.
Houston's good. They're really good on defense, but they have nothing at quarterback.
If you got Hoyer as a manager and they find a way to – that DeAndre Hopkins is a stud.
Yes.
So you get a stud like that on the outside, and then you can run everything underneath. They may give them – and Jacksonville, I like Blake Bortles too. So
They're trending up. And Mariota in Nashville too. They're all going to be moving in the right direction. They're just not there yet.
I gotcha.
You playing fantasy football this year?
Yes, I am. Draft tonight, as a matter of fact.
No kidding.
Yep. So,
wow, you wait till the last minute with your
league,
don't you?
That's the way it kind of worked out this year.
Ah, gotcha. So,
final thoughts?
Next show's next week. More Iceman talk. We'll break down the offseason for another NHL division and maybe the Leafs if time permits.
If time permits. He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, webmaster of Iceman Maniacs. And this is Iceman Insights only on 96.9 FM Wired Radio.
We'll see you on the radio. Music bomb.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.